This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win, order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Till I die.
Right, Chris.
I didn't know how long that one went on for. Happy birthday, happy posthumous birthday, 66th birthday it would have been for our chairman. And can I just say, if anybody's on TikTok, get over to my TikTok and give this guy a little bit of a slate. I just need to find him 1 second. If I say he's a Chelsea fan, you probably know where I'm going with this. because I put up on TikTok earlier a happy birthday tribute. Well, just a post, to be honest with you. And he but has he died? Which is a little bit of a I can't find him now. If you go on, he is Coal is King or something like that. He is on TikTok. I should have actually made a note of it. I will try and find out and post it. But to a Chelsea fans anywhere, FC UK off. Do us all a favour. If only your mothers had swallowed, we'd have been a lot happier as a nation. But good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye, hello, welcome along. This is LTID TV from Leicester Till I Die. Thank you for joining us for the preview of the football, which we might talk football a little bit tonight about the game. And if you're watching, please feel free to join in. If you're a Leeds fan, thank you very much for joining us. You earn me money, but you get ignored. And if you're listening on your favourite podcast platform, thank you for lending us your ear. Now, I've called him in the past our wise old sage. I've called him many other things, not to his face, but to his face, I've called him our wise old sage. He could be our cynical little fox this evening. Good evening, Craig. How are you doing?
Good evening, Chris. Good evening, everybody. Yes, I am very well and feeling very cynical. Yes.
Now, just explain, before we get into the game, which we will do, tell me, why are you feeling cynical, young Craig?
Let me paint a little scenario for you. Leicester City, amongst lots of teams, gets pulled up for financial irregularities, shall we say, breaking of the financial fair play. And there's uproar, obviously, from a number of teams. And the EFL and the Premier League fighting it out to see who can punish us first or the best. And we end up with a hefty points deduction. Soon afterwards, the Premier League decide that they will bring in a new rule that is called the luxury tax, which is instead of and to replace any points deduction, which means that if you have enough money, you can break the rules and then pay a fine and say sorry. And then a week later, they charge Chelsea with financial irregularities and breaking all of the financial fair play rules, but instead of a points deduction, which may see them finish in the lower halves, half of the table, they're allowed to pay a fine from their huge slush fund and get away with it. I'm not saying that that might happen, or the fact that there's been talk of a new luxury tax to come in following on from all the uproar around our charging, but you know, it might happen. Who knows, Chris?
Well, I mean, if I was a betting man, I may have to nip down to my local betting shop or go online these days, I guess, is what you would say. I think you summed it up very well there, sir. I don't think I could have said that any better.
Well, I was going to say, well, thank you very much. But yeah, for those who haven't heard, the breaking news today was that they are discussing a luxury tax to replace points deductions. Just so that all of those bigger clubs, you know, can pay their way out of trouble rather than having to get the same points deduction that the likes of Forest and Everton and Leicester, you know, those sort of lesser teams may get. Now it looks
I think the words you're looking for, I'll just help you out here slightly, is not the big six.
Well, you know, that could be a fair and apt description, Chris. That would mean that you would becoming cynical too, and that, you know, we can't have both of us.
How very dare you, sir. I don't think you could call me cynical over anything at all. Do you think, though, and you know, I like to play devil's advocate. That's my job here. It's a little sign on my desk that says official devil's advocate. you know, when we got relegated, and we just moved into the King's Power.
Yeah.
And we came straight back up again. After that, that was when points deductions were brought in because Neil Warnock complained about us going straight back up.
Yeah.
All right, hindsight is a marvellous thing. He did have a point. Obviously, not as many as we did because his team didn't go up. Bum, bum. But we got away with that one, you could say.
Yeah, you could say that. What I would say is that we highlight the deficiencies in the rules. And then as soon as anything happens to us, they think, bloody hell, Leicester have got away with it again. Best change the rules. You know, we went and, you know, stupidly won the league. And then all of a sudden, financial fair play came in. It's like, we can't have this again. Let's change the rules. Hang on a minute. Leicester have been caught out. Look how much money they've overspent. Surely there must be other people. Oh, Chelsea. Right. Okay. Quick. Change the rules. You know, it's basically if Leicester have done something, change the rules.
Well, who would have thought, eh? Who would have thought, you know? But like I said, a cynic might look at it that way. You and me, Craig,
no.
We wouldn't, would we? Of course not. But let's just say a few good evenings and catch up with the chat. There may be a few replies to that. Scott is in. Evening all, Scott. How are you doing? Thank you for joining us. Please, everybody, smash the like button indeed. And do keep it nice and friendly. Otherwise, Scott will deal with you. Spencer's in. Good evening, Spencer. How are you? Ben, can't wait for the game on the weekend. Going to be a good game. Only person I'm worried about is James Player, who'd not mind him in a Foxy shirt. Funny thing is, now, again, I'm not being cynical in here at all. I just feel I'm pointing something out. The last time we played Birmingham in the league, their manager was a certain Mr. Rooney. And we had a certain Mr. Vardy playing, who unfortunately wasn't fit enough to play in the game. But Sky said, oh, well, no, we'll put that one on telly because, you know, there's a bit of this and a bit of that going on between the Vardys and the Rooneys. Rooney's now been sacked. Are Sky interested? No. So, you know, you could argue there, Craig, and I'm just saying, putting this forward, that, you know, Sky's not necessarily about football.
Whoa. Cynic alert. steady on. I mean, I can't remember now. Did we play them before we played them in the cup?
Yes, we did.
So we're going to play the same team three times in one season with three different managers.
That is very true. And you could say, let's hope it's not third time lucky for them.
Yeah, there's a quiz question.
Yes, indeed. Just going through the hellos here. I'm not sure who he's saying is disgusted.
I'm hoping he's talking about the luxury tax rather than either of us.
Exactly. He says there, so Man City are laughing. Howdy, Wise Owl and Chris. Wise Cynical Owl and Chris, I think we should say. LDH is in. Hello, LDH. Leicester Cynics FC then, quite possibly. When we won the league, they didn't want us in the championship. We rocked. When we won the league, they didn't want us in the... I think you mean Champions League, Gray. We rocked the boat. Drum is in. Hello, Drum. How are you? Welcome along. I've got to say, one of the nice... Leeds fan. Is it Leeds, Drum? I think it is. One of the nice fan, anyway. Brad, hello. Are you suggesting a small club like us has such an impact on the rule changes for the rich?
No.
Never be saying that. No. Be careful. Allegedly. He was going to have a word allegedly there. Drum says Sky equals profit at any cost. Yeah, exactly. Ren is in. Just about there. Yes, lol, the tax, he says. Good. Dara is in. And Gray says, yes, Chris, Champions League. I think Gray's had a few of the old falling down waters already. But look, we have got a match this weekend. What we haven't got is an opposition fan. Surprise, despite me begging around at the weekend to try and get a Norwich fan on, none of the Norwich fans replied. obviously have difficulty talking to the Norwich fans. Birmingham, obviously having beaten them twice this season, didn't fancy coming on. That's been a bit unfair. He's tied up at work. Don't ask me what his job is. I don't wish to know. But, you know, funny over that in the West Midlands, aren't they? Imagine if Coventry beat... Imagine if Coventry beat Leeds and Norwich beat Ipswich. Oh, but we've still got to beat Birmingham, let me say. You know, Gray fell down, nursing his injuries. So he was drunk when he fell down. That's what it was. So if the lawyers string it out, then we just pay the fine. Don't know if they can string it out that long.
Well, they'll find a way, Terry. Don't worry. Hey, maybe they'll catch us on both. The EFL will give us a points deduction and the Premier League will fine us.
Yes. But look, this is we're Leicester. We're used to this. We like being the underdog. Right, here we go. So we have, you made the point earlier about the quiz question. Very good point. Ex-Leicester City player, gone back. He's been called the interim manager. And I do feel sorry for Tony Mowbray. He went in there, was doing a very good job, trying to clear up the mess that Rooney had left. And Gary Rowett has come in. Now, let me just check this, because I believe he's still not well. So we do send all the best to Tony Mowbray. Yeah. I have met the guy when he was at Blackburn. Really, really nice. But just looking, after the sack, John Eustace, Rooney was in for 15 games with a 13% win ratio. Steve Spooner was in for one, obviously a temporary. Tony Mowbray came in for 8 with a 50% win rate. Mark Venus, another ex-Leicester connection there, took over for 6 games, didn't win any of them. And now Gary Rowett's come in, played 2, won 1, lost 1. I mean, you've got to say, in fairness, this isn't like a Watford scenario, is it?
Not really, but there's every chance that Watford will sack their manager at the weekend just because they don't want to be outdone by another team having more managers in a season than they've had. So
they're only on their second, Watford.
Yeah, I know. What's happening? So, but what's that? I'd lost count there. Are we on number 5 or 6 now for Birmingham?
1, 2, 3, 4. Number 6 if you include stand-ins, you know, temporary caretakers, that's it.
It's not bad, is it? You know, that's probably not how the new owners foresaw things going when they put their money in. Birmingham's just a strange, isn't it? Because it's, you know, it is a massive club, you know, nothing about it, or the potential to be a massive club. Yeah. They've put the grounds in a much better state now. They've opened that new stand that they've finally finished. They've got everything there to be successful, but they just can't seem to do it. Like, you know, similar clubs, we had Bristol last week, you know, a big club, really, a big city, never managed to be successful. Obviously, Birmingham have had success down the years. You know, they won the League Cup, I think.
Yeah.
And they have been in the Premier League, but... There is a, you know, I didn't use up all my cliches last week, so let me just drop in sleeping giant. There we go.
I knew that was coming. Hey.
You're very welcome.
Mr. Cliche himself. have you ever thought about Britain's Got Talent?
Excuse me?
But no, it's true. I mean, I remember obviously when we were going through our bad times, as he is it going off to Birmingham, who were then in the top flight, you know.
So he's not the foot in both camps, then, is he?
No, he's not. I think you can guess who it's going to be honest with you. But yes, you know, we wish Gary Rowett all the best, ex-Leicester.
We wish the week.
A swift recovery. But, you know, I'm sure John Eustace is... enjoying his, I don't know if he's gone anywhere, to be honest with you, but if he's not, he's got his...
I think he did get a job. I can't remember where.
The money they got when they sacked.
Yeah, someone will tell us in the comments, but I'm sure he's gone in somewhere recently over the past few weeks.
Oh, what you will... actually. Blackburn Rovers. He's gone to Blackburn Rovers, yes. Yeah.
Who had a really good win at Sunderland in the week, 5-1. So, I mean, what you will get from Gary Rowett is a physical team. I think that's the first thing he'll sort out. He'll look to get them shored up at the back and be competitive, which is basically where John Eustace had them, to be honest. That was the football that they had. The owners didn't like it. And now they've brought in a manager who will probably give them exactly the same football that John Eustace was giving them.
Maybe it's taken that length of time for them to realise that, you know, that's the sort of manager they need, not a big name that's, you know...
You've got to work with the players you've got, yeah. You can't just inflict a new style on players that are not capable of playing it.
No, you can't, Enzo. But Gary Rowett, this is actually his second stint at the club. He was back there October 2014 to December 2016. 106 games in charge at that particular point. They got rid of him and got in Gianfranco Zola. Now, when they sacked Gary Rowett, he had a win percentage of just under 40%. I'm not saying that Birmingham have got history here, but they then replaced him with Gianfranco Zola, who had an 8% win rate on his 24 games. And do you know who followed Gianfranco Zola for 13 games?
No, to be honest, I've had so many.
To be honest with you, I would have been impressed with you. I would have bowed down before your wise owl knowledge. Harry Redknapp.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. He was only there for 13 games because I think they got relegated, so he skediddled. But he still had a 30% win rate. So, you know, he's bit, so he knows what he's going into, as in the club. He knows the club. He'll know the tea lady and what have you. But let this be of note to all the Leicester fans. And I'm going to address this because there was a poll put out by Fosshub, which is just like Leicester Till I Die. It's just another fan site. You may have seen that. Well, you did. You commented on it, I think, didn't you?
Yeah.
And they've put out, should King Power sell the club? Do we want King Power out? And I was like, seriously, WTF? And you put on, do you remember what your comment was?
I think I made two comments. I think the first one was something along the lines of shit stirring.
Yeah. That wasn't the one I was referring
to. All right, yeah. No, I put shit stirring clickbait, I think was my first comment.
Which is quite right. I did like that one.
But the second one was more about, anyone who I think it was this comment, if you're talking about it, anyone who wants to comment, please put your experience and references of running a multi-million pound business before commenting on how easy it is to do so.
I missed that one. It wasn't yourself that put this comment, but I do like that comment. That was very, very well said, sir. I thought you'd put, be careful what you wish for.
Oh, I think I've put that on many occasions as well, because there's so many of these posts. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then you look at the age of some of these people. It's touch and go which is higher, their age or their IQ.
And you know, it's something that we always laughed at Man United about, that anybody under 30 has known nothing but success at Man United. I kind of, in a way, I didn't understand it, but actually now I do, because we've got youngsters coming through now that have only ever known us since the Premier League win. And not expecting us to sort of be up there. So, you know, we've got kind of a lot of little Man United fans running around at the club.
True. But, how stupid was it? The post had two parts to it, if it's the same one we're talking about. One was, is it time for King Power to sell up? And two, if so, who should buy us? I mean...
And there was a sign of a Middle Eastern gentleman.
Exactly.
Actually,
so,
Who do people think that A, at the moment, that they're going to want to buy us? Yes, they may do, because they'll get us cheap, but they've got to understand we are not a Newcastle.
And also, you know, the same people who are in charge now, even after the sad passing of Kunvichai, top as chairman and the people in charge, delivered us an FA Cup as well. Mm. On top of the league that we had, on top of Champions League football, on top of top 10 finishes, you know, it's almost like you could sweep all that away because they've had a couple of bad seasons where they have made, you know, admittedly have made a few bad decisions. Mm. But as I also put in my post, they were chasing a dream that all the fans wanted them to chase. You can't, in hindsight, then turn around and say, oh, well, you shouldn't have done that. You know, they were all moaning when Brendan wasn't getting the players that he wanted.
Yes, that's always been my point. Yeah.
You know, and now we know why. So you can't have it always. And the one thing I hate is the fact that they don't think this is a collective failing. You know, a number of people have done a pretty poor job, but they haven't set out to do that. They've done it for a reason, trying to bring success to the football club on a long-term basis. We had a shocking season that nobody thought we would have, and it spiraled out from there. So, you know, you can't blame people for being ambitious and ambitious on behalf of the fans.
No. And in fact, a Leeds fan did say this to me. He posted on one of my videos, stop looking at porn, I think was what he said, but no, he posted on my video, Leeds fan in peace, you know, we tried for the dream as well, sort of thing. And you know, they got their fingers burnt a lot worse in fairness than we have. And if you're saying to me, do I want to be, and I'm not saying this will happen, obviously, we're not going to go bust because they've got the money. They could write the money that, like you say, the luxury tax, if that was it, off straight away. They could clear the debt straight away, or the charges. But if we ended up, say, in League One again with these owners, I would sooner have that than be in, you know, in the Premier League for maybe one season under somebody that we don't, you know. Look when Mandric sold Portsmouth to Guymar.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was just thinking as well, that statement that came out from the Premier League, you know, using a lot of the language that our owners used when they were talking about why they were taking them to court, fighting not only for Leicester City, but for all smaller clubs or all ambitious clubs who were trying to build their clubs up. And it's, I don't think there's any coincidence that in this statement that the Premier League released, they were saying that they were thinking of bringing in this luxury tax because they didn't want to stifle the ambition of clubs in trying to raise themselves up the league. So, you know, we've come out and said that, why should ambition be stifled? And now all of a sudden, the Premier League are looking to bring in a rule and saying exactly the same. We don't want to stifle ambition.
No. I mean, Drum makes a good point there. Field clubs should openly tell fans if there is no money, if at the risk of an FFP violation. Mm. I mean, I said that going back to Brendan's last season, that transfer window when he was, you know, led up the garden path, that Top did a, you know, very sneaky thing there and keeping it quiet until the last day of the transfer window. But look, you know, we've got to look at the goods and the bads. And yeah, so the thing that gets me is that these people that are complaining are the people that would have said, "Well, you didn't buy anybody. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Why we'd have bought some more players, we would have finished fourth and got into the Champions League." You know, it's all.
I'd swap all of this, you know, or I would not swap all of this that we're going through now for the success that we've had in the previous 10 years.
No, exactly. That said, with all this going on, how's this guy doing?
Well,
indeed.
I did make a comment again. You know, I seem to be finding myself making more and more comments, even though I keep telling myself I shouldn't.
I've noticed that you are popping up every more often now. Yeah.
I did say that I think he's got to be a little bit more self-aware, I think, and he does have to question himself a little bit. And I think the analogy I used is that in warfare, if a general finds out that his opposition has worked out his tactics, then he doesn't just keep sending more troops. doing exactly the same thing. He finds a different way to defeat the opposition. And I feel that Enzo is a little bit one-dimensional in that, from that respect. What I did like is the fact that, again, there was a BT journalist who I had a couple of tweets backwards and forwards. He didn't come back. he didn't come back to me on my last point. That we're saying that the ironic cheers from the crowd every time the ball got switched to the wingers in the Norwich game was totally the wrong way for the crowd to let the team know and the manager know their thoughts. They should have done it in a much more positive way. My response to that was, you know, so what you're saying is that the crowd cheering, ironically or otherwise, they should boo. I mean, what was his point? The fact is that the crowd, ironically cheering, almost forced the players to play that crossfield switch ball a lot quicker and a lot more often than they have. I think we played that ball more often against Norwich than we have in the previous dozen games. And it showed that how dominant we were once we were doing it.
Did you know, you've heard the saying that Spurs are very Spursy.
Yeah.
That Spursy word. Mm-hmm. Is there such a word as Leicestery at all? Because at the start, I mean, I did make the point that it was Easter weekend. We got crucified on the Friday and but our promotion chances got resurrected on the Monday. But I've got to thank an Ipswich fan for that, by the way. Only us could go. When you look at Bristol and Norwich, you know, Norwich were second in the form table. I know their away form's not good, but they were second in the form table, trying to cement a playoff place because they're on very dangerous ground of dropping out if they're not careful. And Bristol City mid-table. Bristol City was the one you'd have put your money on as winning.
Yeah, I think the one issue you've got to look at in all of these is missed chances, you know, and as much as we love our players, we love Jamie, that Bristol City game was, you know, two nailed on chances that he should have put away, and it's a whole different one. And then you look, I know a couple of people have put montages together over the past half a dozen games. You know, you go back to Leeds, we had enough chances to kill that game off before they came back in it. And that's happened in numerous games. We've had more than enough chances to still be sitting comfortably at the top with at least a 6-9 point lead. The fact is we've made chances and we haven't taken them, and it's cost us. And that's exactly right. And I'd put in my comment as well, Doyle was intrinsic to the fact that we crossed and we played those crossfield passes. You've got two players who could do it. And I hope that, you know, it's not a style. I'd said it's not a style of play that's required. It's the speed of the transition that needs to improve. And that's what we did so much better against Norwich.
I must admit, I've not been Doyle's biggest fan, but I think that was one of his best games he's had for us.
Definitely. I think me and Scott were walking away from the ground and I think we had, I can't remember who the other player was, but it was definitely Doyle was one of our two potential Man of the Match players because, you know, he was solid at the back, but he did switch the play. His passage percentage was fantastic. So, he made a big difference.
He really did impress me. And I'm just looking here, actually. I'm trying to find my notes because I think there was five of us that came up with Man of the Matches afterwards when we do the post-match section, the watch-along. And I think we came up with four different Men of the Match, you know. So, it shows that as a twin, you know, when that's happening, that the team's played well because everybody's thinking, he was better and he was better. It's hard to actually nail it down rather than sort of, oh, God, who do we pick? They were all awful.
Yeah.
I'm going to play, like I say, I do like playing devil's advocate, so I'm going to play devil's advocate again here. Do we need a manager that is sort of, we'll look at something and go, all right, we're playing Bristol, so we'll play this way. Now we're playing Norwich, so we'll play that way. I expect all you guys to change and remember the different system. Or do we want a guy that says, this is the way I'm playing, the team get used to it, they know what they're doing week in, week out, and obviously, hopefully then, play, you know, play. Because, I mean, it was doing us well for, you know, 30-odd games, yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a tricky one, isn't it? I think what you need is a manager who has a clear way of playing but has the tactical nous and ability to make subtle changes within the game. And I think that's what we've not seen. He's done it a couple of times and he's come out and said, oh, we did it. We moved, like, instead of having two players sitting deep, we moved one of them further up front and it made this happen. I don't think, you know, this famous plan B that everybody spouts on about, I don't think you're going to get that. I think what you do get is, as I say, subtle changes, but within a framework that they work on all week. What I do like, I think if you look at the teams that have been successful over the past couple of months since the turn of the year, Ipswich and Leeds, you've got to say they are the two teams that play with pace more than anyone else. Everything they do is pretty much full on. They get the ball forward quicker. You know, they don't just lump it, they do play it through. But everything they do is done at a much quicker pace than we're playing at. And when we do play at a quicker pace, we've got the players who are capable of doing it. We look a much stronger outfit. And they're the changes that I would like Enzo to make to be a lot more, get his players to be a lot more decisive in their decision-making. Anybody can, you know, hang around and wait for the perfect pass. But by the time you've done that, the team are back in their defensive formation. So it is a long answer that required probably a short one. I think he's the right man. I think his tactics are sound. I think he just needs to be a little bit more fluid within a game situation.
Every time you said then everything they do, I wanted to burst into song to do it for you. Just going through my mind then. I'm going to take you back I think it was 13-14 when we got promoted out of the Championship under Nigel Pearson, another manager that quite often would stick to his guns. That season, you could have said in game one, week one, what team we would be playing in week 30. He stuck, and obviously that season we walked the division virtually. Yeah. We broke all records, left, right, and centre. Got promoted, and then he used to change it every week. Mm-hmm. I was sat there. And that was when I had a season ticket, and I'd be sat there, and the team would come up, and you think, what the? Somebody just scored two goals and he's dropped.
Yeah.
Somebody's had a good game and he's dropped. Somebody who's had a really bad game, you think, oh, he'll drop. No, he stayed. He literally, you could not predict it. And then we were struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because you think maybe he wasn't happy with the team and he was tinkering, you know, to try and find the right formation. Luckily, eventually he found it.
Yeah.
And he found a way of playing and it worked. And then, you know, that team formation.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You know, brought us the title the following season. I think Enzo, I think if everybody's fit, we can pretty much name the team apart from maybe one or two positions.
Yes.
Left back, you know, changes a little bit, and then obviously the central striker. But I think when everybody else is fit,
I picked that team just for myself, to be honest with you, because what I do is I pick the team and have it all set up and then just make the change. We know what formation he's going to play. Yeah. and then I can just slot the any changes in at the last minute before we start the watch along. I got 10 out of 11 because I'd got Justin in. So yeah, you can predict it, but do you think us not buying anybody in January was part of the problem with us hitting bad form?
Potentially. I mean, it would have been interesting, wouldn't it, where we got the money from hindsight. And it does look like we kind of, you know, dodged a bullet with him going in for surgery. But I think he said a couple of times that he wanted a certain type of player to be able to adapt in the game. I think it would have been interesting had a couple of the players who are now out on loan still been here. The likes of Samari, you know, who's having a very good season over in Sevilla, I think would have been interesting to see how he adapted to the Championship and whether he could have made a difference. I still would have liked Christensen to have been here, to be honest. I know he wasn't happy with the way that Enzo wanted him to play, but I think not being able to bring anyone in has sort of hampered his ability to change things a little bit. You know, when Ndidi was out, I think he'd got Ndidi playing in a certain way that had started to work for us. We went on a very good run. Then he got injured and Dennis Pratt came in and again was starting to play that role pretty well. And then he got injured. And then we were filling in with players trying to fit someone into that gap and it didn't really work. And that sort of coincided with the bad run that we went on.
Yeah. Two players there because... is it? I think it's Mavadidi, isn't it, that's messaged Samari and said, please come back.
Yeah.
And you do wonder, because I think there's a good player in Samari. Yeah. I don't think Brendan got the best out of him, but you could argue about favourites and all that with Brendan. Mm. But I think I would have liked to have seen, as you said, what Enzo could have done with Samari. And I also, you mentioned that, I love Christensen. I accept that in the role that he plays, it doesn't fit into our style, formation, whatever you want to call it. But surely if a manager says to a player, and maybe this is where Enzo's got this attitude of, look, if you don't want to do it, I don't want you, which is fine when you've got, you know, you can afford to not pick players or let them go. But surely if he turned around to Christian and said, look, you're here, you're doing what I say, I'm the manager, Christensen would have had to have done it.
Yeah, I agree. And what I think he would have given is an opportunity to either rest or make a very good substitution off the bench for Mavadidi. The same way, I mean, James Justin came on for Fatawa, and did really well down there. Because
yes, he did. He did.
You know, he's an attacking fullback. They're both attacking fullbacks who spend most of the time, when they're at their best, they spend most of their time in the opposition half anyway. And I think both of them, having both of them off the bench would have been a good option to be able to either rest the wingers or change them up for someone who's a little bit more direct. They may not be as tricky, but both had a lot of pace and a lot of willingness to run forward and attack space in behind. And I think they would have both been a very good option. And Christensen, I think, had it within him to play much further forward.
I think so. And he did get forward a lot, didn't he?
Exactly. That's what he wanted to do. And that's why he didn't really like what he was being asked to do, because he knew that he wanted one of his fullbacks to push into a midfield role. He's probably not technically gifted enough to be able to do that the way that Pereira is, which meant the other fullback has to stay back. And that, you know, it would have hampered his natural instinct to try and get forward. But I think he would have been a really good option for us off the bench.
Yeah, I do. Going back to the game, third time this season, third Birmingham manager. let's hope it's not third time lucky for them. We nearly threw it away the first time we played them, but we managed to hold on for a 3-2 win. And then, of course, was the FA Cup, where we nearly threw it away full stop in the first half, didn't we? But
yeah, we did.
Fair play, he realised what he was doing. you can't really look back at games, can you, now? Because Birmingham are fighting for their lives.
I think you can't look back, even if the players are the same. You know, the managers have changed for every game, so you're getting a different one. I was expecting a little bit more of Birmingham, I think, in the cup game, because Mowbray had gone in there, and Mowbray was manager of Sunderland when we played them down here, and Sunderland had given us the hardest game at home all season at that time. I think we beat them 1-0, but they were very good. So I was expecting a little bit more from Birmingham once we made the changes, because I think Enzo put out a slightly changed team and then realised that it wasn't working. So he did make that decision and changed it. And it was a comfortable victory in the end. So I think we're going to see our third incarnation of Birmingham this season. And I would imagine it's going to be a team that's going to sit in a little bit more and try and play is on the break.
I think they will come and go, we'll take a point.
Yeah, I do too.
Like I said, they are fighting for it. Now, competition time again for you, Craig. Oh, I'm throwing all these questions at you. I'm going to show you a diagram, and I'd like you to have a guess at what point Birmingham City appointed Wayne Rooney. I'm not going to give you any clues, but I mean, if any...
Yeah. I'm going to say it's roughly around the time they dropped out of those green sections.
Yes, I think you very much might not be too wrong with that. I mean, you've got to look at that, haven't you? And that's got to be the warning to any fan about, A, just getting a name in for the sake of getting a name in. In that case, we kind of did it with Sven. It wasn't quite as disastrous as that. But a big name doesn't always guarantee you the results, and especially you've got to look at it and go, well, hang on a second. It's like, let's say we don't get promoted this season. I say we stick with Enzo because we've done more than we would have expected this season. And, you know, this argument like, well, we didn't go up there, we should get rid of Enzo. Yeah, but look where we were, look what we were doing when we had Enzo. You don't know what this, I say, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I mean, at the start of the season, I think we all wanted, obviously, we all wanted to get straight back up in the automatic places. But I think we were all looking at new manager, a few new players, we've got some big names gone. Let's get in the playoffs, you know. Yes. Hopefully, we don't end up there. There's going to be a disappointment if we do. But we will be where we hoped to be. Yes. And I think he's also changing the structure throughout the club. So you can see that style of football is being operated throughout all the ages now. The under-21s, the under-18s, the youth teams, all of these are going to start playing the same way. And then, as I've said this to you before, you know, a football club for me should have a way of playing, and the managers that then come in fit into that and can develop that. You don't change the ethos of a football club and the way he wants to play football every time you change a manager. I mean, Birmingham players must wonder what the hell is going on. They've had six different managers have probably tried to get them to play a different way. You know, players like continuity. You buy players to fit a system, not that. And that's what happened to Rooney. Rooney wanted them to start playing like Man City. You know, he may have been able to get them to do it over a period of 18 months, but you don't get that much time. So to bring in another manager, if we decided that Maresca was to move on, or Maresca decided that Maresca was to move on, you would look at a football manager who played in a similar, maybe not identical, but a very similar style to get the best out of the players that are still at the club.
Otherwise, you're just ripping up all the work you've done for the previous, however long it is.
Exactly, I mean, and then you need to change your squad to get players to fit. We can't do that. We've got to work with the players that we've got.
It's the hamster and the wheel situation, isn't it, really? You know, Scott says, will Enzo stay, in both your opinions? I think it depends. We've got to, you know, the way I look at it, and I don't, you may feel free to disagree with me, Craig, but for me, this is his first managerial job. Yes, I know he was at Palmer, but that was 12 games. That doesn't count. So, you know, he probably can't go on here and go to a Newcastle and necessarily get a tune out of them. But if one of the big boys did look at that and go, look how well he was doing at Leicester and look what he did at Manchester City, etc., etc., yeah, if a Newcastle comes in, he's going to go. And you know, you've got to say money talks, just as, you know, we all do in our own jobs, sort of thing. But I think he'll, if we don't go up, he will still be here next season. Would you agree, Craig?
Pretty much, you know, again, as you say,
unless somebody comes in, obviously.
Exactly. If somebody comes, you know, you've got, you know, Newcastle are not the only big club who may be looking for a new manager and a new direction. If they manage to get away with the points deduction and stay up, Everton are going to go into a new ground. They've got new owners. They've got a lot of money. They've got to be looking at a new manager to move away from the how they've been playing over the last decade to try and bring a difference to that football club. So it wouldn't surprise me if someone like an Everton, if they stay up, started sniffing around as well. But I think the only way other than that Maresca would walk away is if the hierarchy at the club say, we want a different direction. We don't want you to play this kind of football. He said that already. You know, the day that they don't want me to play this way, I'm out of here.
Yeah, and I understand that because, again, you know, you're asking players to try and play a different way. Not all of them can do it, you know, and if that's the way he wants to play. But then he will stand and fall by the results that that way bring us. Drum, I agree. McKenna is probably would be the first target before Maresca. You're probably right. But we're talking, obviously, Maresca here. What I like about him is, and I think you touched on this, that he's got the whole club playing the same way.
Yeah,
you know, there's no point in having academy players, under-21s, 18s, whatever they are these days, playing one way, different to the first team, so that when they come into the first team, it's like, what am I doing?
Yeah,
you know, they can slip easily, you know, move up easily, knowing that they're going to be playing their role the same way.
And, you know, I think for anybody who was having doubts about whether the team were with him or whether certain players were invested in what we were doing, you know what I'm going to say, Chris? Just look at the reaction that third goal went in against Norwich.
Yeah.
You know, as fans, that's what you love to see, that they were celebrating as much as the players were, as much as the fans were, because they knew how important that third goal was to clinch those points. And the fact that you saw Ndidi and Mavididi and Fatua chasing the manager down the touchline to celebrate, you know, was great to see. It really was. And particularly with people saying that Mavididi's playing like he doesn't really care about being here, I think you saw the answer there.
Definitely. And I think my computer's just gone off. My other computer, so just bear with me. But that's got all my notes on. The fact that, you know, the substitutes were up and cheering. It's strange not to see somebody sit at the sideline going.
Yeah. Make a note.
Yeah. I mean, it literally did. It was good to see. I mean, I think I put a post up, or certainly I put up something somewhere saying like this, you know, it's great to see again. It did mean a hell of a lot to them, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. The only one I felt sorry for, and I know that you, I'm not sure if you did a show, but you definitely put a post up about Daka. Does he deserve all the sort of criticism that he's getting? Yeah. And I did feel sorry for Daka that, you know, you run yourself around for 80 minutes, you barely get a chance given to you. And then the sub who comes on gets the ball dropped to him in the middle of the goal, 2 yards out. You know, I did feel for him a little bit there.
Yeah, I mean, what annoys me with Daka is, look, I think he's a decent player in there. And when he had that run before AFCON, he was popping the ball in. And I don't care whether he goes in off his knee, his arse, whatever. If it goes in the net, that's all that matters. What gets me is that when you've got a performance like Jamie Vardy, look, he did not go out on purpose to miss those sitters against Bristol City. But the fact of the matter was, he did. Did he get as much stick for missing those four as Daka would have got from if he'd missed one of those? No. And that's what kind of annoys me.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. You know, and it does wait. It's the hardest position, you know. You know, both of us, Chris, have been borderline world-class strikers in our time.
You remember? You know,
we know that confidence is such a thing. You know, you take an extra touch or you start snatching at things. And I think that's what's happened with Daka. And I've got to say, Daka is one of the players that I would be very surprised if he's still here next season. I think we need to raise some money, and I think he probably needs a fresh start.
This is the thing. I mean, I've got to be honest with you, out the two of us, I've never scored a wonder goal at the King Power. Well, you deny it, but I know I do know this. I can't predict who's going to be here next season because we might have to have a fire sale.
Yeah,
it might be because of who brings money in. Kells, unfortunately, if he goes, I think he'll be going free at the moment because you know he's out of contract. So Daka has got the time on his contract. So like you say, he is one that could bring money in. Jamie Vardy, look, love him to bits, but he's on a lot of money. I think I saw a post that went up somewhere, and all right, take this with a pinch of salt. He's on $7 million a year in wages.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I saw some posting today that there was that someone had listed where they were saying that Alex Smith was earning $1.5 million a year, which the fact is that he's not even at the club anymore. I don't think anyway, but I don't believe any of those. But you know, whatever Jamie's on, Jamie's earned down the years. You know, there's no way that we can continue to do that. I don't think it'd be interesting to see what Jamie's thoughts on it. It wouldn't surprise me if he goes to the States. But it would be nice for us to get promoted and for him to be able to go out on a high and use that last game of the season against Blackburn to say his goodbyes and go on to whatever is next for him.
I mean, this is the 2023 payroll. So, like you said, a lot of these players are no longer there. And I think this is the one that he took it off. 7.2 million for Jamie Vardy. Ryan Bertrand apparently was on 4.1 million. But then again, we didn't pay a fee for him. So,
I would like to know
the higher wages.
Yeah, I'm always a little dubious about where these are being leaked from. You know, there's got to be someone in the club, I guess, someone somewhere, or unless they have to publish them
somewhere. Well, the thing is, this, Kieran Dewsbury Hall's only on $1 million. He's on less than Alex Smith is. So read into that what you will, you know. But look, this is the form going into this game. Home form for Leicester is seventh, so not the end of the world. But Birmingham's away form, 23rd. I mean, wow. They managed to scrape past Preston, their first win. But, you know, I mean, 19th of March. So he's had two games, I think it was, Let's just have a look, Gary Rowett. Yeah, he's had two games, so he's won one, lost one. So that's the unknown in there. But at least we've got some green on our side.
Well, yes, it's nice to see it. And as I say, that was a solid performance against Norwich. I think they scored a good goal from the corner, but apart from that, they were either they were disappointing or we were really, really good because they didn't create much at all until. They were chasing the game late on, but I thought we did pretty well in that game and fully deserved it. And I hope that they managed to take that momentum into the game. It's good, really, that we're at home again, I think, and the fact that we're not had to wait too long. If you win that game and then there's like an international break or whatever, but the fact that there's only like 5 days to try and build on that and, again, you know, get that result on the board and keep the pressure on those because it's going to be, we know that the other two, I'm discounting Southampton a little bit now, I've got to say. So Ipswich and Leeds have got tough games coming up and I don't think either of them deserve to win their games at the weekend, but they did. They managed to find a way.
So, yeah, and that's what it's all about. That's the difference, isn't it, between, drawing and winning, and they managed to do that. Fair play to them. I must admit, Southampton technically aren't out of it.
No. I think they require, not only have they got to win their games, they've got to, everyone else has got to slip up as well. So
they do play us.
The combination of those two things.
Yeah, they play us. And who did they play at the weekend? Was it Ipswich?
Yeah.
So they've still got to play Leeds on the last day.
Yeah.
Yes, interesting, as I say. And the funny thing is, with everything that's gone on, when I was doing these figures, I think for the Norwich game, I'd forgotten that we'd even played Sunderland, let alone beat them.
Yeah.
I can't remember that game in my head at all.
Well, it happens at that age, Chris, doesn't it, really, to be fair?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But apparently, look, we did, so I just remember nothing about it. But let's just have a look at the table, because we know what the tactics and everything are for that. Look, we are sat in third. Like you say, had we come up from like maybe 10th, 11th, 12th and had this run up to the third, we'd have been happy as Larry. But because we were so far ahead and we've dropped that, you know, that you're not happy, are you? Let's face it.
You know? No, not at all. You know, even if those defeats that we had been sprinkled throughout, so it was all a lot tighter all the way along, you know, it wouldn't have seemed so bad. It was only the fact that we got ourselves such a fantastic lead that the recent run of results has really hurt us and knocked confidence as well, I think, a little bit. You know, not only in the fans, but probably in the players as well. So I think that's why, you know, that outpouring of relief of finishing a game off and getting back on the winning trail was so palpable.
I mean, when you look at that, we've won more games than either Leeds or Ipswich.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're not a draw specialist, are we? You know, in the old days of the pools man coming round, you wouldn't have been putting the next to us.
No, not at all. So, you know... And do you remember that season, was it when we caught Fulham up?
I think we won at Fulham, I think.
I think McDonald was the manager of Fulham.
Yeah, I do remember going away to Fulham 1 year, and I think we won 1-0, Ian Wilson scoring, I think, that we got promoted that year.
And I think if we remember, we'd slowly sort of caught them up. I think we played Burnley possibly on the last day.
I think so, 0-0, I think.
Yes. And then, but they had a pitch invasion with about 30 seconds to go.
Yeah.
And they found back in the day, they actually found in Leicester's favour for something. Wow. And said, no, they're not going to replay it. And in fairness to Malcolm McDonald, he was the first one on the phone to congratulate us. But looking at the other end, it doesn't look good. Well, there's a lot of clubs now. I mean, Rotherham, it's goodbye. Good night, Vienna, as they say. They have gone, not mathematically, but as good as. Sheffield Wednesday and, Queen's Park Rangers, my God, you know, 16th. Nosebleed time for them this season. Fair play to them. But, you know, Sheffield Wednesday, they are only 3 points. Is it 3 points? 2 points, isn't it? Sorry, they're on their 39. So 2 points off Plymouth, who are in 21st, who, of course, we've got coming up as well quite soon. Birmingham and Millwall, we've got coming up as well. And then Blackburn on the last day.
Yeah.
All those teams from 15th down, that Swansea, that have put, well, even possibly further. No, probably not Watford, but Swansea down, they're all in a relegation fight, aren't they? So when you look at it on paper, go, yeah, well, we're playing Plymouth, who are down there. They're fighting for more than we are, in a way.
Yeah, you've got, and I think at the other end, we've got West Brom and Southampton to come, haven't we? So, you know, we haven't got many middle-of-the-road teams whose season is over. So you're right, teams are going to be playing for something, but what that does make is it makes them more nervous. So you would hope that a team that has more control will be able to pick the gaps in a team that may be a little bit jittery and a little bit panicky.
Yeah. And just out of interest, and I know you're not a huge fan of Leicestershire Live, and I think there's not many people are, but they have done a thing about how Leicester City fixtures compare with Leeds and Ipswich, as Coventry set to play a big role. And what they are saying about Leicester is that we have the easiest running. Average position of their remaining opponents is 13th. Ipswich, they've said that, and then Leeds, average position of Leeds is 11th. And Ipswich is 11th. Oh, no, so sorry, obviously that makes it harder for them. So, you know, I think they've gone as, believe it or not, Leicestershire Live, and don't call me a cynic here, but the headline doesn't always match up with the story.
No, that's solid. That's solid analytical reporting again there from Leicestershire Life. Well done.
Yes. There we go. Right. Let's have a look. What is up next? Damari Gray are being at both.
Okay. I was thinking of you might have gone, you know, one of two ways. Muzzy Izzy obviously was one of them. He wasn't the other one that I was thinking of that you might have gone for.
Rowett?
No.
No.
Our good friend Robbie Savage was the one I was thinking of.
Cool, yes, yeah. Mm. Well, the thing that I have to think about is I don't know the age of the person that's coming on.
Yeah.
And I, you know, sometimes you go a bit, I didn't remember him. And then you kind of stuck for a conversation. I thought, although they would remember Damari Gray. Obviously at Everton now, I don't think he's particularly set in the world.
Can I just ask, Chris, did that thinking come into play with Howard Wilkinson the other week? No, I won't let it go.
In the words of the song, let it go. Now, I've gone for the big name there. I went with the big name on that one. Don't try and dig yourself out of it still. Accept it. Move on. But no, look, Damari Gray. I can remember when we bought Damari Gray. I've got a friend who's a Birmingham fan, and he was really mad that we bought him because he was such a good prospect. Now, whether it was the fact he was a Puel buy?
He might well have been.
Might well have been, yeah. He had the potential, didn't he? He was one of those players I can remember. Whenever he came on as a sub, it was like, wow, he set the world alight. And he'd do a bit like, say, a Mavididi now. He'd try those tricky things. Then you put him on at the start, and he was bloody awful.
I mean, show me a consistent winger, because I'm not sure that exists. You know, I think virtually every winger you get that. Someday they're on it, someday they're not on it. And when they're not on it, they're really not on it. You're right, Damari Gray had all the potential. You know, and he's still young enough to come again, to be honest. Yeah. You know, there's definitely something about him, and I think he looks like one of those players who needs a manager to believe in him. And, you know, he may have well fitted in really well under Maresca, who likes that sort of fatherly nature and bring a player on. But he's just sort of lost his way a little bit at the moment, I think. I know, obviously, he went to Germany. It didn't really work out for him. No. But, yeah, I mean, he did score some good goals for us. And as you say, you know, on his day, he could be a game changer. And obviously, you know, he'll always be remembered, I think, for scoring the goal away at Cardiff after
and celebrating like he meant it. Somebody just said, Gray, he's quite right. He's actually gone off to Al Ettifaq in Saudi Arabia.
He's in Saudi now, yeah.
Yeah, he's played 17 games there and got 4 goals. Whatever happens, his bank balance is doing really well. Apparently, since 2023, which is when he went to Saudi Arabia, his international career is now playing for Jamaica.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
And no, I didn't. He did it of his own accord.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. Thank you. Sorry, that was awful. But he had played for England under 18s, 19, 20, and 21s. But again, you've got to say, if you could, I'd do it. If I had a grandma that was from somewhere unknown, I'd go. And certainly Jamaica. Got a home game with Jamaica. Yeah, put me on the plane. Thank you very much. I don't think we could class him as one of those that got away. You know, I mean, he only scored 9 goals in 77 games at Birmingham. He actually played 133 times for us, believe it or not. Mm. scoring 10. Bayer Leverkusen, one season, played 10, scored 1. Everton, 67, played 9. Now, if you can't get into that Everton side at the moment, something's wrong with you. You know.
No. But, and, I mean, to be fair, though, you know, what's happened to Leverkusen after he's gone?
Say no more. Yeah. Say no more. Right. I've not put my predictions in yet to the predictions.
I haven't either.
No, so we may go completely different on this one. New layout, I'm quite impressed with that, actually. I quite like the look of that. Nice. Leicester City, Birmingham, what do you think the score is going to be?
I'm going to go for the old favourite of 3-1.
Right, well, I'm going to go for my old favourite of 2-1. Because... I think we both feel that we're going to have a bit of a scare. We seem to like to do it that way, don't we? You know, nothing's ever, you know, never do anything easy the Leicester way.
No, and they've got a couple of good young players at James Jordan and Jay Stansfield are both decent players. I like both of those.
Yeah. It will be interesting, having got that win beneath us and seeing what it meant to the management and the squad, if that can, like you say, 5 days later, we're at it again.
Yeah.
If that can carry over, we will see. I mean, if it's back to losing again, then maybe we've got to consider playoffs. But, you know, we've got to be – these are games we have to be winning. I know, again, I'm pinching one of your clichés there, but every game's going to be a cup final.
It is indeed.
But you've gone for 3-1. I've gone for 2-1. And there will be a watch along. And as you can see, there's dark clouds over the King Power there. You see the metaphor I went for there. From 2 o'clock, in fact, it should be 2:15. Sorry, 2:15 this Saturday, not 2 o'clock at all. 2:15 this Saturday for the pre-match team announcements, the watch along, half time and full time assessments. I'm sure you will be there, Craig.
I will indeed, mate. I'll be there cheering them on and hopefully bringing home another 3 points.
That would be nice. And just in case that wasn't scary enough, just a small case of away to Millwall afterwards.
Yeah. Let's take each game as it comes, Chris.
Hey, you get the last cliche in there. Well done, sir. But yeah, there we go. Look, Leicester, when have we ever done anything easy?
It's the Leicester way, mate. It's a roller coaster, and we love it, really, don't we?
Yeah. Drum has gone 2-1. Sorry, I've just seen you. Sorry, I never see these notes in private and chat until later. We are rounding up. And I just very quickly, Ronald, I don't know what, I'll have whatever you're drinking, please. He's gone 4-0 Leicester. I'll take it, definitely. Yeah. Thank you very much, as always, sir. Bring back the 3 points if you would be so kind. Great shout out where people can get you.
Yeah, just follow me on at Craig Bird on X. Previously, Twitter, of course.
Yes. You're not. It doesn't mean he's a porn star.
Not these days.
No. Those days are long gone. So that sounded bad. That wasn't meant to be. Craig, all the best, mate.
Cheers, mate.
A good weekend. Fingers crossed for 3 points.
Cheers. Thanks, mate. Cheers, Chris. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Thanks to Craig there. That sounded bad. I didn't mean to insult him then. His born days were behind him. Not that I know. Not that I've never seen any of his porn films, you know, Bird Does Leicester, you know, male version of Debbie Does Dallas. For those that know. I will be back on Saturday at 2:15, not at 2 o'clock, for the thank you very much, Greg. Very kind words and Drum as well. And I might have a sarcastic comment back from Craig here. Let's just have a look. Oh no, cheers, Craig. All the best, mate. Take care. We're back 2:15. Production prediction league tomorrow. Must get my things in because there's a Friday night game with Dave and Craig. I can't get my teeth. I was doing all right. I'm on my own and I'm struggling. With Dave and Brad tomorrow at 7, it's the Prediction League. If you're in the Prediction League, you haven't got them in yet. There is a Friday night game, so you will need to get them in before that's kicked off. And Gray says he knows Debbie. What's her number, mate? And I will be back 2:15 on Saturday. Thanks very much if you've been watching. I appreciate Gray and also Scott doing the modding duties there. And thank you if you've been listening via your favourite podcast platform. Thank you very much. I'm off to check out and see if I qualify for the luxury tax or not. I will see you, like I say, on Saturday. Good luck to the Foxes. 3 points, please. Come on, you Foxes.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You'd better like them too, or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.